Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Comedian and podcaster Dermot Whelan, good afternoon.
Morning, Brendan. How are you?
Good. So listen, on one hand, obviously you're all about the mindfulness and the meditation. On the other hand, you're about to kick off a new nationwide tour called Busy and Wrecked. So,
yes.
How's your own Zen situation at the moment? Are you calm about this?
It's an interesting adventure. I have to make sure that I practice what I preach and that I'm not busy and wrecked myself as I'm going out to help people to feel less busy and wrecked. But no, I'm excited about it, you know, and I guess it's there's always an element of risk because it's not something that really exists, a mixture of comedy and mindfulness. But to me, in my head, it makes perfect sense because there are two things that help people to feel better. There are two things that get people into the present moment.
Yes.
Yeah. And all the science says that the more time we're in the present moment, the happier we are. So you have to be a little bit careful when you're mixing the two because, you know, you can kill a comedy gig fairly quickly
by
just
imagine.
Going one deep breath. I remember trying it years ago in Vicar Street, and the person who came on after me was like, "What were you doing? They're all asleep." the second half is where I really get into the mindfulness and meditation techniques, but we do it through humour and that relaxes the cynics because I do love when there are cynics in the audience. Because that's what I'm really trying to do is to break down those preconceptions that people have around mindfulness and meditation because it is marketed in a very fluffy, woo, you know, new agey way.
Yeah.
And particularly for us blokes, we don't relate to that, you know. So it's really important to me that everyone has access to it and humour is a great tool to do that.
So talk to me about this concept of busy then, which is a huge thing in our culture now, isn't it? What do we mean by it? What do you mean by it?
Yeah, well, I guess I've essentially been researching busyness for most of 2024. I have a book called Busy and Wrecked coming out next year as well. So I guess it was one of those things, when you're aware of it, you go, oh my God, we do that. I mean, very simply, the question used to be, how are you? And the answer was grand. Now it's, how are you? And you get a complete rundown of the person's diary. Oh my God, I'm flat out, I'm busy, I'm up the walls, I'm crazy busy. You know, I've this to do and work and I'm picking this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we kind of unleash that on the person who just was being polite, you know, and then there's usually a gap and we realise actually we should probably say something to make this sound a little bit more controlled. And we say, good busy, you know, we're good busy, which means that suggests that maybe, you know, as unhinged as it all sounds, that we have chosen it and that, you know, we're in control. And a lot of the time, we may not be, you know, and certainly I became a meditation teacher 6 years ago. And the two words that I hear consistently from people who I interact with are busy and wrecked. So that's hence the name of the tour. But and there's a feeling of kind of I compare it to that race in Gloucester in England, you know, where they chase wheels of cheese down the hill. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Not familiar with that.
Since I left the radio, I've spent a lot of time on YouTube. Dermot, are you watching YouTube again? Should you be earning money? I am working.
You know the cheese race. Everyone knows the cheese race, don't they?
But it's a beautiful thing if you watch that because the start, everyone is very excited and everyone is upright and reasonably balanced and they're chasing this wheel of cheese down the hill. And then there's a moment where you can see it on their faces. They're like, oh God, the momentum is too much here. And next thing, they're head over heels and they're rolling down this hill. And I think we can all feel like that it doesn't take much sometimes. You know, maybe suddenly you're caring for an elderly parent or something happens at work or there's an illness or something. And we don't realise that most of our time was spent with our needle, like the amp on my record player. If the needle's in or around the red, it doesn't take much for it to just push us over that line. And suddenly, particularly, I don't know if you've noticed it, talking to people coming up to Christmas, people just, I need to get a lot of stuff over the line before Christmas.
They've like, turned it into a desperate ordeal. Like.
Yeah, and people are frantic to get things wrapped up. Got to get things wrapped up before Christmas. And there's real burnout coming up. And
do you think, though, that in a way, like, people feel they have to go on like that these days? Like, that it's kind of, it is, there's an element of boasting to it as well. Like, if you said, not busy, doing nothing, people would think there was something wrong with you.
Well, you've hit on something beautiful there because that is something that has changed, particularly in the last 20 years. And there's a lot of science around this. Columbia University, a business school, have done a lot of science over the last 15 or 20 years on this. And there's been a big shift. Whereas, you know, historically, if you were wealthy and successful, other people worked. You know, there's that famous line from Downton Abbey where Violet Crawley says, "What's a weekend?" Yeah. You know, because she'd no concept, you know, that there would be a day where there would be work and then there was a day where there was none. But there is a big shift. And what the science shows is that we are constantly engaged in signalling busyness, because busyness is a sign to the other person that you are successful. And that you have a higher social status. So it has become interwoven with our conversations. And I'm sure, you know,
because there was a thing called the leisure class, remember?
Like, exactly. And
But that was when you'd made it, like.
Yeah, and other people did your work.
Yeah,
you know?
Now the CEOs are like, "I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning, X, Y, Z," like, yeah.
And boasting about it. And you can see it in, they looked at Super Bowl ads as well, where wealthy, successful people historically would have been shown, you know, being handed a tray of drinks beside the pool or lying on the beach or standing on a yacht, this leisure class. Whereas now, wealthy, successful people is, you know, I'm in the gym at 4 a.m.,
yeah. Yeah,
like Mark Wahlberg, you know, I'm getting after it. When everyone else is sleeping, I'm after it, you know. And that's great for a while, but, you know, the wheel of cheese is faster than you are and you may end up head over heels, you know.
And explain to me the notion then that busyness is like water, that it'll just flow into everything. Mm. So it's as if we think I'm busy because I have all these things to do. But you're saying, no, that busy is the mindset that starts and then you find ways to...
Generally speaking, now look, there are people listening to this who work 2 and 3 jobs because that's what they have to do.
Okay.
And they have to put money on the table and Christmas, you know, presents under the tree. But there was a very famous article from the New York Times about 12 years ago called The Busy Trap that pointed out that those people are rarely the people you hear complaining about being busy flat out up the walls.
Yeah.
They're just exhausted. They're just getting on with it. Whereas... the rest of us, I guess the whole point of my show and what I'm encouraging people to do is to ring fence those spaces, particularly at Christmas time, ring fence those little spaces. Because if we don't, if we give in to this busyness where that, you know, if we have a spare piece in our diary or a spare couple of hours, you know, that we have to fill it with activity. If we follow that trend, that leads to our sense of overwhelm. So we have to ring fence the time in our diaries. And I encourage people to keep a selfish diary. And that means doing exactly that. I mean, for example, there is a little bench in my village where I live in Howth. And it is a very unassuming little crappy bench that's in the harbour. But I write bench in my diary on my phone because I know that I there are times when I need to go down there. And that's me signalling to myself that I'm prioritising time where, as Padraig Ó Maoran in the Times put it so well, where I'm not problem solving.
Okay.
And a lot of us use our spare time, in inverted commas, to go and problem solve other things, which means that we never give our brains a break and we very rarely stay in that present moment.
So what are you doing on the bench?
I sit on it. It sounds like the most wonderfully pensioner thing.
Yeah.
But what I do, I'll go down by myself or I'll go down with my wife and my dog and I have that time not to problem solve and I will look around.
Is the mind not going anyway? The busy mind?
Well, that's why you have to be active about, okay, yes, there are work things I'm thinking of and I'm thinking of my tour, but for this 20 minutes with my coffee in my hand, I'm going to look at the boats. I'm going to listen to the sounds. I'm going to watch the fishermen open up the shops. I'm going to, you know, talk about something funny or happy with my wife. So whatever happens in that day, the bench has happened. And I guess for me, it became this kind of symbol of that creating space for a time where you're not problem solving and moving into that default mode network, they call it in our brain.
What's that?
Well, I'm not a neurologist, so I'm going to wade into territory here that I'm not qualified to. But
you've been on YouTube a lot, so you probably know more than
the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But I guess it's one of the reasons why we have great ideas in the shower or when we're out for a walk or in the gym or on a run, because when we actively, you know, step out of the distraction mode, it allows our brain to process the things that we've been picking up. And that's where the creativity comes from. Again, I do apologise to any neuroscientists who are roaring at the radio.
Do you know what? It makes intuitive truthiness sense to me, like, so I can see what you're saying. Let the brain idle a bit and actually, like, things bubble up.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at it like an engine or your laptop, you know, if you've all the tabs open all the time and you're getting your computer to do stuff all the time, it's going to start, you know, stalling and you'll get a sense that it's overworked. So,
yeah.
But yeah,
so, because, so texts are coming in now from people who are clearly looking for something to do. They're not busy enough. Kathy says very fairly, if people are so busy, how come they have so much time to talk about us? You are not listening to two busy men now. We're busy talking about busy. But there's another one here from Dan. It's slightly more serious note. Over the last few months, things have been very stressful at work. I thought I was doing fine. Until suddenly I wasn't fine anymore. There's your needle going into the red. He said burnout's like Hemingway's phrase about bankruptcy. Comes on gradually and then suddenly. You've burnt out. Does that ring true?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people have. And then you're like, my story was I just didn't feel right. I just felt like there was something wrong with me. So I took myself to the GP. This was back in 2017. And I sat there and she said, so what can I do for you today? And I burst into tears. And it was one of those kind of shoulder shaking cries. And then eventually I managed to stop. And I said, sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I'm completely burned out. I think I'm overwhelmed. And I'll never forget what the doctor said to me. She looked at me and said, me too. I was like, what? She's like, no, I'm completely burned out as well. I have a whole load of patients out there and I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. And so the two of us were just left sitting, looking at each other. I was thinking, have you tried exercise? You know, you know, but and Jo, I'm really grateful to her for doing that because it just showed that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or what your job or how cool people think your job is or how easy people think your job is. It's different for everybody. And how we navigate that stress, you know, for me, obviously, there was a few things that you know, like that old buckaroo toy, you know, that we used to have in the 80s. There was just the one little bucket that went on that made the donkey flip. You know, for me, whatever that was, it just pushed me into the red. So I guess, you know, what that forced me to do was go, okay, how do I want to work? How do I want to feel? What kind of balance do I want? And a lot of the time, you know, what I've really learned is that a lot of our busyness comes from avoidance. We're avoiding, we fill our diaries because we're avoiding asking those deeper questions. Who am I? What do I want? Am I happy in this job? Am I happy in this relationship?
You're making me uncomfortable.
And not that you have to go and sit in a bench and think about these things every single day, but at least, you know, acknowledge that, you know, maybe some of your busyness is self-imposed. Particularly if you find yourself talking about it all the time. Maybe you're leaning into people-pleasing tendencies. Certainly that's something that I would have done in the past, you know, and then you go, okay, well, maybe, you know, do I really need or want to do this piece of work coming my way? Or am I just putting my hand up because, you know, I want to please my boss or I want to please myself? One thing I've learned actually is, you know, since becoming self-employed, my inner taskmaster is far harsher than any boss I've ever had.
Yeah.
I found myself walking around, and maybe your self-employed listeners can relate to this, walking around everywhere with my laptop in my bag. If I was going to the cinema, I'd bring my laptop and I was like, what am I doing? And I realized that I was signaling to my inner boss that I'm available for work. You know, and that I'm not slacking.
Listen, everyone working from home is identifying with that because basically, okay, it was easy enough to prove to a boss in the office that you were busy. You know, you could strategically do it in certain ways. But to prove to yourself all the time that I am busy at home, like, is a much more exhausting kind of prospect,
isn't
it?
Like, what did I think was going to happen? It was like a sort of a busyness SWAT team was going to come crashing through the window of, you know, the cinema or the cafe and go, this is a Teams meeting. Everyone
So come here, any advice for Christmas then? How can people, you see, it's all very well for the two of us to sit here talking calmly about this. Yeah. People are going to be up to 90 now, 20 people to feed, all that kind of thing. Like, it's very hard to kind of find the space to sit in a bench during all that, isn't it?
It is, but it's not impossible. You know, I think Christmas is an amplifier, you know. So if you feel resentful that all the work is falling to you at home at Christmas, that will be amplified. You know, if you feel that you're carrying the cognitive load, there's a load of study around that in terms of, you know, the women carry 2.5 times the cognitive load of men. That's the micro decisions. That's the invisible work, as they call it. And so that gets amplified at Christmas. We all know those arguments. In my house, it was always the men get away with murder in this house, you know, and a lot of the time it was true. So I think that gets amplified. If there's family, you know, difficulties in terms of siblings or anything like that, that will be amplified. If you're if you're anxious, you know, if you have social anxiety, you're forced into more social situations. You know, there's a lack of privacy a lot of the time as well, that you know, if there's people in the house and all that. So I think for me, you know, what's really important, and I have to do it because I've always been someone who's sort of uncomfortable in crowded pubs and all that. I have to, and I even did it as a kid, particularly at Christmas time. I remember going up to my bedroom and just shutting the door. And it seemed to sort of recharge me, you know. And so I guess it's over Christmas in particular, find your bench. Now, it doesn't have to be the bench down the village. Like, you know, one of the greatest places I've de-stressed over the years, particularly in this live radio environment, was the Jacks, you know, in work, because I could shut the door. And, you know, a meeting wasn't going to start in there. But, you know, so even if you're just removing yourself from the situation, going into the bathroom, locking the door and putting one hand on the belly.
Okay.
Breathing in, hold the breath there. And make that exhale as long as you can. And you will notice a difference in your eye.
Simple as.
And do that a few times. And then just move through it. But also, I think, you know, an important one is that setting an intention will always help us more. And I know that sounds a bit fluffy, but all it means is we're focusing on it. And it even works for, you know, if you want to drink less this Christmas, that's always something that people feel, God, I think a Christmas would have been better if I didn't tear into the red wine as much. So if you can set an intention for how you want to feel, and then particularly if you feel like you're carrying the load at Christmas time, share that with other people. So go, guys, I want to feel relaxed and calm, and I really want to enjoy my Christmas day. And I really need to feel like I'm not alone and carrying the load of everything in terms of presents and food and all that stuff. So I would love you to be on board with me on that. You know, how would you guys like to feel? Do you want to feel that, you know, I'm upset? And so share that with people. And then give that intention your attention. And we've more chance of maybe reaching a place, you know, that we'd prefer to be. You know, I call it setting your Google Maps. We do it when we get into the car. So maybe set your Google Maps for how you'd like to feel, how you'd like to see Christmas going, particularly if you've got people coming to the house who know how to press on your buttons, and turkey's a bit dry, isn't it? You know, I think if we can set our Google Maps for, okay, I know maybe there will be things that I would usually react to. There may be things said that I'm not going to like. So how would I like to feel? How do I want to respond in that moment rather than react? And set your Google Maps. It may not work every time, but if you go out, find your bench, find the bathroom, wherever it happens to be, and just keep knocking off that little alarm, that stress response, you'll have more chance of getting to the end of Christmas and getting to New Year and even into the New Year.
I'll tell you what the solution that's in my head at the moment is, that I think you need to come to everyone's house on Christmas Day. You really have become the most calming person ever. I feel completely physically different after all that.
I don't know, Brendan. If you ask my kids, they may think otherwise. We realised over the last couple of weeks that there was a smoke alarm that had been built over. We covered in our staircase, except the person who covered it in covered a smoke alarm and the battery started to run out.
That's a metaphor for everything.
So it was going yip, 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 for the last 3 weeks, and I swear to God, no meditation would help you at 4 o'clock in the morning when that's happening.
That's a challenge to a mindfulness guru. Okay, Dermot Whelan, definitely thank you very much. Thanks, busy, I know you would never describe yourself as a guru.
Never.
There are real gurus out there listening. Your Busy and Rec tour kicks off in Clonmel on January 2nd. Then you're off across the country, 21 counties in total, including Dublin's Bord Gáis Energy Theatre on January 14th. And more details of that on DermotWhelan.com. Dermot Whelan, thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Thanks, Brendan. Happy Christmas.